Hello, welcome back to another episode of Walks with a Copywriter. I'm Ollie, I'm a copywriter, and today I'm speaking to you from a forest, more specifically beside a stream in a forest, as you might be able to hear in the background. I've just sort of stopped on my way up a hill. I've come across this stream. It's falling over lots of rocks, which is causing all that racket, and has carved a channel down a hillside covered in trees. Interestingly, on one side of the stream are mostly evergreen, very tall, thin evergreen trees, which are mostly bare up until about halfway and then sort of flourish with their, I don't know if you really call them leaves, needles, branches and needles, I suppose. Sort of to the top half of the tree, but on the other side of the stream is more like more green, sort of lower, more greener trees, lots of long grasses, bushes, and today is a really nice day, probably a bit too hot for the UK climate. We're not used to this. It's sort of I think it's about 33 degrees, what is nice though is that the forest is very cool, sort of protects you from the sun, but the sun's rays do come through the trees and I can see lots of kind of flies, like small little flies, just kind of darting about through the forest, catching in the sun's rays. Yeah, it's very nice, very, very nice, very peaceful. Haven't actually seen anybody the whole time that I've been here. So I thought it would be a nice opportunity to record a message for you. And today I thought I would talk about editing, because it's something that I'm doing more and more in my current role, and I've done it lots before too. So I have a few kind of words of wisdom to share with you that hopefully you'll find helpful. I certainly have. And the first thing that I would say about it is, and this is something that I learned myself because I am perhaps a bit of a perfectionist. I have very high standards. The first thing really is just to relax. The person who's writing the copy that you're going to edit is not you. So if you're like me and you think that you're doing a good enough job that other copy should sound like you write, it won't. And so you just kind of like need to accept that, because if you go in trying to mould other people's copy or edit other people's copy exactly the way that you would write it, then it's going to be very challenging. It's going to be very demoralising for the person whose work you're editing, and it's going to be very frustrating to you because you'll be making lots of minor changes, which, you know, depending on the change, might be more of a change than an improvement. And that's the first thing really to watch out for, is to accept that the other writer is not you. And much like any art form, I suppose, or something like cooking, let's say, you know, there's a recipe, but everyone who makes that dish is going to, like, it's going to come out differently every time, slightly differently. It's going to be like a variation on a theme. It's the same with copywriting, I think. You know, you give 100 people, give 1,000 people the same brief, you're going to get 1,000 different versions. And I've kind of seen this with my own eyes, because I set a writing exercise during the interview process for new copywriters. And of course, well, I don't know, I've probably had, well, dozens and dozens of applications. And everyone is different. So, the first thing is really just to accept that you need to be looking at other ways to mark the quality of somebody's writing that are not directly linked to how you would necessarily write it yourself. So that's number one, is sort of just to set expectations of yourself, of your own expectations, really. Number two is is going to vary depending on where you work and who you're writing for. If you work for an established company, you will likely come across tone of voice guidelines or brand copy guidelines. These essentially set an outline for, or a guideline for the personality of the copy that you're writing. So, for example, if you're writing for, let's say, a traditional financial institution, one of the big banks, probably you're going to be writing relatively formally, relatively directly. It's not going to be very editorialized. It's not going to be full of sort of nice fluffy stories. It's not going to be reflective. It's not going to be written in first person by an individual. It will be representative of the company and therefore needs to sound a certain way. If you're writing for, let's say, a sports team, you're writing for a football club, for example, the quality of the tone of your writing is probably going to be aspirational. It's going to be inclusive. It could be fun because, you know, this is a, you know, football or any sport is a form of entertainment, and it's about people pushing themselves to their limits. If you're writing for like a startup challenger brand, let's take a sort of a classic example, at least in the UK, of Innocent Smoothies. That's a very fun brand, so it's always making kind of jokes about things, full of puns. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's very light-hearted. It's very much a representation of that company's values. And so if you're lucky enough to have tone of voice guidelines, it will inform you of the personality that that copy kind of needs to carry over to the reader. And that will, of course, influence how you write and how others write. So when you're editing somebody else's copy and you have an existing set of guidelines, of course, you need to make sure that it meets those guidelines. If you're working at a brand that is fun and playful, but they provide something that's more formal, then you might want to give them the feedback that, hey, have a look at this other piece of work and compare yours to that. Well, you might want to sort of do it for them and just point out one or two differences to give them an idea of things to improve. When I began editing, for quite a while actually, I was much too specific in my feedback, or rather I did too much of the work for them. Rather than give sort of broad feedback with one or two specific examples, I was sort of circling or crossing out specific things, you know, throughout the document, you know, depending on what the copy is. That is a sure way of frustrating yourself because it's time consuming and, you know, nobody wants to be doing that. And also it can be demoralizing for the person whose work you're editing. You know, they obviously put time and effort into doing it the way that they thought was appropriate, and for you to provide a document back with lots of red in it is not a fun experience, and I've kind of, you know, learnt this actually directly myself. I've been on the receiving end of that, and I've also dished it out. My mistake, hold my hands up to that. I did it lots of times when I first began editing because I didn't really recognise these lessons then, which I do now. So I'm sort of passing that on to you. What I find really effective is to provide examples, particularly for newcomers. If you have somebody new into your team, and some people won't need to be told this depending on their experience, but if they're relatively inexperienced, you might want to show them a couple of examples of work that you or sort of others in your team or your company has already done to sort of set the expectations. And you might want to go through it with them to sort of highlight certain areas and say things like, notice how we don't use adverbs all over the place. We're sort of a bit more direct, or we want our copy to appear a bit more sort of credible. So we don't want to doubt ourselves, to say things like, the stream is down, flowing down a hillside. In other words, the hillside has a stream, you know, because that's the kind of thing that sounds like you're doubting yourself, like you didn't think you did a good enough job of communicating it right the first time, so you have to kind of backtrack and say it again. That's the kind of thing to avoid, or that they might want to avoid. So I did actually mention about tone of voice guidelines. Again, like if you don't have them, really, again, it's just the way of describing the tone, the personality that you want to use in your copy. So again, providing examples is a really good start. And something that I did at a previous company, when I actually put some tone of voice guidelines together, one of the sort of slides within the deck that I would present actually had a list of fictional characters and said, you know, we sound a little bit like them, but not like them. And that was quite effective and could be quite fun way to learn. Of course, another area of editing is grammar and spelling. To be honest though, if your copywriter is not hot on grammar and spelling, then are they the right person for the job? It's kind of prerequisite, isn't it? But sometimes you do have people writing for you who aren't copywriters. Perhaps they're describing something that they've done in their work for a blog, or perhaps you know, they've released a new feature of a product or service and they're the best people to write about it because they've been working on that project, and so you ask them to draft something which you then edit. In that case, yes, you want to you know, run it through a spell check or a tool like Hemingway. I think it's hemingway.app, which is great to copy and paste, to paste some copy in there, and it'll tell you if it's a, well, it'll spot all the grammatical errors and actually give you even a reading grade. The lower the better, essentially. It means that more people can understand it. That's super easy to use. And you can even tell them about that app and say, hey, before you send it to me, just run it through that, paste your copy into that, and, you know, accept some of the suggestions that it's it wants to make. Also, accuracy. This can be particularly important if you're selling something. You want the product description to be accurate so that people are not disappointed when they receive that item or service. And also, it could be a legal matter. If you work in a regulated industry, such as finance, which is where I actually do most of my writing, you really need to make sure that you're not making false claims. And that the copy meets certain regulatory requirements in the UK. The financial regulator have a sort of a broad, well, they have a very long document, several documents of specific things to do and not to do and to say and not to say. But broadly, it says that when you're writing about any sort of promotion, financial promotion, it needs to be clear, fair, and not misleading. Those kind of things you want to look out for as an editor. But I would also say that it may or may not be your role to do so. You know, that might be one for your compliance team, if you have one, or like the risk team, because they will be much more aware of the interpretation of rules, because sometimes they can be a bit grey. And so you might not want that responsibility on your shoulders, and you might want to pass that on to someone else to look at. In a previous company that I worked at, the editing process went along the lines of copywriter drafts it, editor edits it, and then the compliance team will review it. And it went in that order. So that's something to bear in mind. And lastly, I think it's really important to remember when editing that you're critiquing somebody else's work, essentially. And your role as an editor, I think, should be akin to a mentor or a coach. you want to be helping others improve the quality of their writing. You don't want to be rewriting for them. If you do that, they won't learn. But if you provide clear feedback, you don't rewrite things for them. Maybe you do it once or twice just to give them like an idea of what you mean. But let them figure it out and come back to you with a, you know, having solved those problems. And then you can say, yeah, great job. They'll feel really good about themselves. They'll have learnt something which they'll carry forward, and you won't have to deal with whatever issue that was again. If you just rewrite it for them, you're going to have to do that probably every time. So just remember that you're working with a human being. And it's also worth noticing, mentioning that, of course, we all have different personalities. And when it comes to feedback, some people like to receive feedback in a very direct manner. They're absolutely not afraid of critique, of negative feedback. You know, when you say these are all the errors that you made, some people are just kind of wired that way to say, okay, great, I'll fix those. Other people don't like that at all. Other people, you have to sort of take the opposite approach and go for positive reinforcement. You have to say, really like what you did there. You did this well, you did this well, you did this well. But this is one area that I think needs some improvement. And it kind of just reframes that feedback a little so that they feel that you're on their side, that you're not sort of judging them, and that they haven't done a bad job. It makes them feel like they've generally done a good job. And of course, everyone can improve constantly. None of us will ever reach the points where we're perfect. So that's just another thing to bear in mind. Well, I hope that was helpful. I feel like I was a little bit rambly today. I do apologise for that. It's very hot, actually, and it's quite difficult to sort of maintain focus, I have to say. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you on the next one. And in the meantime, best of luck with your editing.